we're going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 4, the wonderful story of the Savior meeting the woman at the well. So let's read from verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him.
Thank you. as always, to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. John chapter 4, it ought to be one of the best known chapters in all of the Bible. It is a great storyline. It is an amazing demonstration of the Lord's love for an individual soul. And if you're questioning, could the God of heaven have an interest in me, little me, here in this world on the planet Earth, who am but a speck of dust, less than the least, yet the Lord is interested. What's more, this woman was a sinful woman. She had broken many of the commandments. She was guilty and shameful, and yet the Lord had a specific plan of mercy for her soul. I trust that today, as you stay tuned, that the Lord will minister to your heart also.
John 7:37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then you have in brackets as a comment on that statement, but this spake he of the Spirit, uppercase S, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so this water, this living water, is a picture, a type, and an analogy of the Holy Spirit coming to live within your heart. How does this happen? By the new birth, born again from above. You're given a new heart, a new nature, and you have the Holy Spirit coming to live within you. Someone was asked, what is the greatest outstanding feature of Christianity? And he said, undoubtedly, it is this notion, and he may not have been a believer himself, but this notion that God, the Holy Spirit, can live inside a human body. That's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's what makes Christianity so unique, so blessed. It's not just me on my own doing what I think to be best and better and improving on myself. It is opening my heart to have the living Lord come in to live in me as Lord of my life. And when the Lord comes in and the Holy Spirit takes control, he is the sanctifier. That's his work. He has come to sanctify. Now that simply means purify and to make us more like the Lord Jesus. And there is no greater blessing in this world, in any home, than a Christ-like mother. A mother whose life is surrendered to the Lord, and you are praying, seeking constantly to live more and more like the Lord Jesus. That will change you. It will change your home. It will make you a wonderful blessing to your family. Now, the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. He comes in to minister within you. He's the sanctifier. And his ministry is to apply to your life the victory of Christ at the cross. This might seem to be very simplistic language, but it doesn't need to be complicated. When Christ died on the cross, he purchased every victory, every blessing that you need to live the Christian life. Now, how does it get from the cross all the way into your heart and your own personal walk? How does all the power of it and all the blessings of Calvary's finished work transform your life, your soul? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the executor. He is the one who takes the blessings of Christ, makes them real, and applies them, makes them work in you by his power, by his Spirit. And the first work is the work of reconciliation. You see, by nature, we feel at a distance from God. That's our nature. That's what sin has done. That's what the curse has done. But when you become a Christian, you now enjoy real communion with God. You're no longer at a distance. You are reconciled. Now, it's one thing to go to Romans chapter 5 and read about reconciliation, read about what Christ has done, but it's another thing to enjoy it. It's another thing to overcome our fears and our sense of failures and our weaknesses and to be brought into the real sweet enjoyment of reconciliation with the living God. But that is the work of the Spirit. That is what Jesus was offering to this woman, that I will give you water, living water, of which you will never thirst again. And that's what the gospel works in your hearts. The Spirit's work is also the spirit of sonship, by which we can pray. Sonship. We can call Father God our Father. This is profound, that we can refer to the God of heaven as our Father. And our Lord Jesus taught his disciples, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And you are brought into this liberty in prayer, access to God. You are no longer looked upon as a stranger, but a member of the family. You have sonship, or for ladies, I'll call it daughtership. You are in the family. You may call God your Father. And you live in sweet communion with him. Power is the next thing the Holy Spirit works. There is that strengthening in the inner man, the inner being of our souls. And this is the water that bubbles up, this springing up water, life from within, life that energizes, life that purifies, life that gives you the power to live the life that you want to live for God. That's what Jesus gave to this woman. And mothers, your life, your hard tasks, the emotions of them, the draining nature of them, the weariness that befalls you just by the very nature of your role as wife, mother, grandmother, all the demands that it brings, there is power. And there's life that will make you the woman that you need to be. I think that ladies have a greater capacity for this exercise of the heart. Women, generally speaking, you are more creative than men. To put it in easier terms, you are more artsy than men. I remember being in school, and the girls always had the pictures, the paintings, the artwork. They were always ahead. The guys either had no interest in it or no abilities. There was maybe one or two stars, but they were in the minority. It was usually the girls who had the head start in that. Likewise, in literature and poetic expression, women, you're streets ahead of us men when it comes to that. Men deal in objectivity, in blocks, in those hardcore things like logic and defending and arguments and all those things. That's the man's role. But the woman has this tender, emotional, creative ability. And when it comes into the spiritual life, it brings you into a realm that has depths that are very personal and very real to you. And the mothering nature that demonstrates love to protect that baby or that little son or daughter comes also into expression in your standing up for the Lord Jesus. I see that because Christian women are usually very offended when the Lord Jesus is put down, when the Lord is blasphemed, the Christian woman is the first to be rattled and disturbed by those very things. There's a sensitivity right there. Love in the heart is poured out from within. Jesus in you will be manifest in powerful ways. The Holy Spirit is described as having a dove's nature. And ladies, that's very close to your nature. You have that meek, quiet, godly spirit, which is easily offended, easily disturbed, and just as the dove is quickly driven away, there are things that disturb you so quickly. And your cry, by grace, by your mother nature, is for more holiness, more usefulness to the Lord. And I pray that the Lord answers that cry of your heart, that you excel and abound in that gift of deep-seated emotional attachment unto the Lord. Now I see it here in this woman at the well. When she latched on to this offer of living water, we see her dropping her pot, running off into the village, and without any shame, without any self-consideration, she cries out, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did." And there is a new zeal, a new power in her life because of what our Lord Jesus gave her that day. And I pray that for you. I pray that you will enter into the sweetness, the blessedness, the power, and yes, the zeal of being a Christian wife, mother, a Christian woman, loving the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Now, I need to close on this point, if we go down to verse 14, back in John 4, that living water speaks of a water supply that will never run dry. Because the Lord went on to expound this, and he said in verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, this was not just a day's supply, and it was not what this woman could put into her little pot. This was an abundance, because the Lord was offering a well. "It shall be springing up in him a well of water." Now, that's like teaching someone to fish, as opposed to giving him a few fish. If you give someone a few fish, he has a meal or two, it's all gone. But if you teach someone to fish, he's got a lifelong supply. He knows how to fish himself. And here the Lord is offering to this woman not just to drink once or twice or to fill her pot and supply the need for the day, but water that will last for everlasting life. And this is actively a gushing well. That's what it refers to. It's springing up. This water is replenishing itself. Drink and it's full again. Drink and it's full again. It's an everlasting supply. And the Lord referred to it springing up into everlasting life. Now, the wonder of it is that it's right now. It's a present supply. It's not just after we die and we end up in eternity. This supply is right now. It's heaven begun in your soul right now. That's what salvation is. Salvation is glory begun right in your heart at this very time. Now, this language is not strange in the Bible. You'll find that Isaiah talks about drawing water from the wells of salvation. In Isaiah 12, Behold, God is my salvation. And the reasoning here is that salvation comes from God. It's not a human supply. It's not even an institution's supply, an institution of men. But it is from the very heart of God. And He is the one that supplies. It's given by the Lord Himself. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus is Jehovah. And when you come to the Lord and put your trust in Him, He has all life in Himself to supply every need. Back in John 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we have an everlasting supply. Now, the thing to rejoice in, that the grace of the Savior will never fail. It will never run dry. It will never cease to meet the need of your hearts, even in weakness. And every Christian has the fear, and perhaps ladies all the more the fear, I don't have the strength. I can't do this. I'm not up to it. Well, remember what the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And that was in his infirmity. That was with his sickness, his pain, his trial of life. My grace is sufficient for thee. And so here is a supply that will meet your need right now. It will also meet your need in death. The Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And this gospel life, this water of life, this grace from the Savior will not fail you in the hour that you need it most. It will be your perfect supply, even in that hour. And then out into eternity, we will continually drink of that grace of the Lord Jesus. Remember what we learned in Revelation 22, verse 1, that we saw a fountain flowing from the very throne of God and the Lamb sitting upon the throne. And there in heaven again is this picture of living water, this endless supply in heaven itself. And that is our constant hope. How can that be? Because He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and everything in between. And so, mothers, I want to address this to you in particular. Make it your mission to be a little example of heaven in your home. That's my appeal to you today. Because Christ gives you everything you need to do it. It will be the sweetest thing that you will ever experience in your own life. And it will make you the greatest blessing that you can ever be in your home and family. To be that little taste of heaven right here on earth. So that out of your life is coming this life of Christ, this life of the Spirit, enabling, transforming, changing, making you an overcomer over the frustrations, the troubles, the trials, and even the tears that a mother often expresses. Because this is now the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is now being born in your life so that you can rise above frustrations and complaints. This is the antidote to being a complainer, a quitter, a drag, and a problem. A Christian woman enjoying the liberty, the life of Christ flowing out of your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Mothers, excel in these things. To this you're called. That's why the Lord has saved you. And by this God will make you an amazing blessing to your family. And it won't be long until you are in heaven. Just think on that. Won't be long. This little life is going to be lived out very quickly. And your earthly mission will be over. And so now, labor and serve out of this living water that Jesus gives. And then you'll have a wonderful ladies' meeting in heaven. Won't that be great? A ladies' meeting in heaven? Mrs. Roosma's down in the nursery right now, so she doesn't hear this. She's always encouraging the ladies of our church to come to the ladies' meeting in our congregation. But there will be a wonderful ladies' meeting in heaven. What will you talk about? My husband was so difficult, but God gave me the grace to be a wife to him. My children were so troublous. And you will tell the stories over and over, not only of the trouble, but of the grace that God gave you to be an overcomer. The Lord calls every one of us to be overcomers in various situations in life. And you can be the answer. You can be the solution. You can be God's gift rather than the one that pulls down. And I want to assure you that this well will not run dry. Living water springing up into everlasting life, Jesus said. Not in a million years will this supply run dry. Take that to heart today and go. Live in the sweetness, the fullness of the life that Jesus gives. And may God bless you and be great.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.